I love that. That was good. Tammy Wynette? Oh, wow. All right. Woo! All right. There you go, folks. You will never hear Tammy Wynette played again at Covell Community Church. Tammy Wynette to Elton John and all artists in between. Yes, there was some REM and the Police in there, and whoever sings Stand By Me, I have no idea. There is a common theme that was strewn among all of those popular songs, and I'm guessing you probably understand what it is. It's all about standing, and standing is tiring, and standing is demanding. And I think most of you would know that, especially if you're a nurse, you would know this. If you are a waiter or a server, or you've been a waiter or server, you would know this. Standing requires stamina. Now, let's talk about what standing does. Standing connotes strength. In fact, I've been in situations, in hospital situations, where I've gone to visit individuals after they've gotten their new knees and their new hips. And I remember the nurse staff or the doctor's staff coming in and saying, let's see if you can stand. And a lot of people would say, I'm not ready yet. A lot of people would say, I want to lay for a while. But the staff is always encouraging those individuals to stand. You know, after a storm where I grew up, we had a lot of storms, and it seemed like the wind would always blow harder where we were at. And we would always go out after a tornado or after a big storm, and my dad or my mom's comments was always something like this. They would say, let's see if everything is still standing. We always felt better when it was. We believed we put up the right kind of sheds. You know, standing doesn't always connote strength. It also connotes success. For example, an ovation is great, but a standing ovation is even better. How about when you go to a bank? And you go to a bank and they say, what are you here for? And you say, I'm applying for a line of credit. And they say, well, let's see if you are in good standing. And if you're in good standing, it means that you're organized, it means that you're timely, and it means that you've displayed excellence within your credit. So my question is, what is your standing today? What is your standing today? Are you standing in the midst of a storm, a struggle, a trial, or ordeal, and what are you forced to stand up to? In fact, let's get further in this. What is your struggle? What is your trial? And what is your deal? And what is your storm that you're facing today? And how do we prepare for it? And how do we deal with it successfully, trying to overcome it? And I'm assuming you would say, I'm going to need faith, I'm going to need strength, and I'm going to need growth. Don't we need an understanding of God's word when our storms and struggles become worse? Now, in Mark chapter 4, we'll go right to the word. In Mark chapter 4, there's a great story, and it's a story we all know, I think. But in that story, Jesus and the disciples were going to cross to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so they get in a boat. Now, Jesus was tired and obviously exhausted, so Jesus falls asleep in the boat. Now, on the Sea of Galilee, it was not uncommon for what you would see or call pop-up storms. Now, these storms were sometimes severe, high waves and high winds. And in this case, this was exactly what was happening. So while this was happening, a storm popped up, high waves and high winds. Jesus was asleep. And all of a sudden, the disciples who were in the boat with Jesus became frantic and started to panic. And what did they do? Well, in Mark 4:39, it says that they did this. It says that they woke him up, and then Jesus stood up and gave a command to the wind and the water, and he said, "Quiet, be still." The wind stopped, and the lake became calm. Here's what we know. Jesus stood, and the storm stopped. Now, through his word, we understand the power of his mighty stand. We understand the power in his mighty hands. It's right there before us. But if we want to be standing in the midst of our storms, our struggles, our trials, and our ordeals, we are going to have a godly understanding of why and where those bad things might be coming from and how we stand up successfully against them. Now, I think everybody can identify with this. Because I'm guessing that everybody in the church today, whether it's this church or any other church, would say, "I'm in the midst of a storm. I have a struggle. I'm dealing with a trial. I have an ordeal." And whatever that is, my guess is that at some point, regardless of how difficult it is or how difficult it is to ascertain, you've said something like this: "God, I want to understand it. I don't understand it, and I don't think I can stand up to it." Now, many of you might be in that storm today, and if you are, this will make sense. I love Proverbs 3:5. It's one of the most powerful proverbs, I think, in the book. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." You see, trusting means believing. Believing means putting your faith in God. And when that happens, God, in a relationship that we can have with him and that we can build with him, he can provide us through his word an amazing amount of understanding. Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Isaiah 40:28, "God's understanding no one can fathom." And knowing this, then the psalmist says in 119:34, he says, "Lord, give me understanding." To withstand the struggles and the trials in this world, we need to better understand. To undertake the things that are happening in our lives, to be able to withstand those difficult things that continue to pop up in our lives, we need an understanding. Now, I love what Psalm 119:130. It says, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." And folks, I think we would admit today we are those simple people. Now, that's not an insult. Rather, it's just an identity for each and every one of us who says we as simple people need Jesus. The disciples realized that in their time when they were frantic and in their time of panic, they needed Jesus. They were simple people. We are too. To be standing, we need God's word that provides us understanding. John said in 1 John 5:20, he says, "We know that Christ, God's Son, has come to help us understand and find the true God." When the storm arose, the disciples knew where to go. My question is, do we? Jesus strengthens us. He helps us. And he can help us to get through this, whatever that is. Psalm 46:1-3 helps us to understand this as well. Now, understanding, especially as it pertains to God's word, is elemental to our faith and our growth and our strength. We will soon see from our sermon text how all of those things apply. Paul, when addressing the church at Colossae, in Colossians 1:6-10, he reminded them that their lives, those people who were in that church, that their lives were changed when they first heard about and then understood God's great kindness toward them. His prayer for all of them, he reminded them, was for all of them to understand what he, God, wanted them to do so that they could grow and know him better. And so from their faith would come growth and strength and better understanding. And folks, let me assure you one thing. If you are questioning today, if you are wondering today what's going on today, let me promise you this. You will better understand if you read this today. And so many people say, "But I don't need this today. I need something more than this." And there is nothing more than this that we would need today. This is the means for our understanding. Acts 8:26 through 40. Many of you know this is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's a story of Philip. Now let's talk about both of these characters. Philip was one of the first deacons chosen in the church. He was a man of strong nature, strong character. The Ethiopian eunuch was a treasure under the royal court of Candace the queen. So the Ethiopian eunuch had a powerful position. Now, here's what we know about the Ethiopian eunuch. He was in a chariot going to Jerusalem to worship. What we do know is that he was not saved, but he was curious. He was curious because he wanted to know more about this guy named Jesus. And so going to the temple allowed him to find out about this. Philip was motivated and prodded to go meet that eunuch. The eunuch was unsaved in his chariot on his way to Jerusalem, reading from the book of Isaiah, specifically chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. Philip, led by the Holy Spirit, goes up to him and asks the Ethiopian eunuch, "Do you understand it?" I love what the eunuch says. In all honesty, the eunuch, Acts 8:37 through 39, says this. He says, "Of course not." You see, God's word. Philip was able to teach it. God's word, Philip understood it. And because Philip understood it and he was able to teach it, the eunuch was saved by it. Acts 8:37 through 39 tells us that the eunuch was saved by it. Understanding gave that eunuch right standing. Folks, this is what we need. We need understanding to have right standing with God. Paul said in Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 that the unsaved cannot understand God's ways. The eunuch would have agreed. Just didn't get it. And for all of us, when you think back to when you were unsaved, not saved, when you were searching and you were hurting, when you were dealing with your trial or your struggle, when you did not know Jesus, I'm guessing that you did what all of us did. We said, "What do we do now? I don't understand." And when you get the bad diagnosis, when you're going through a crisis and you say, "I don't understand." And God says, "Trust me, read my word, I am your Lord." That's what happens when we are saved. We get understanding. Without understanding, we'll have a hard time standing, especially when storms and struggles and trials come our way. I'm guessing this week, this month, perhaps even today, you are in the midst of one of those struggles, those trials, or those storms. Solomon said in Proverbs 2, 1 through 11, powerful words indeed. He says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you." Now the question is, what do we need to be guarded from? Why do we need to be shielded, guarded, and protected? Why do we need this kind of understanding? Let me tell you why. Because Satan is attacking. You see, Satan's attack on Job is documented in Job chapters 1 and 2. And after Satan's attacks and his friends' responses, which you could never forget reading through chapters 3 through 37, God, sensing that Job might be weakening and perhaps was starting to question, says to him, "Stand up like a man and brace yourself for battle." After God's address to Job, Job says to God, "I was talking about things I knew nothing about and did not understand." Chapter 42, verse 6 says this. Job repented. Job 42, 10 through 15. God blessed him and restored him. Job was left standing because of his repentance, his faith, his strength, and his right standing. Now think about this, folks. Have you gone through that kind of a storm? Have you dealt with that Jobian type of trial, struggle, and ordeal? And did God leave you standing? I'm guessing you were left standing because you were in right standing, because you had understanding from God's word. Satan attacked Job, and he will, and he is attacking us. We must understand how to stand up to overcome this. So we're going to get to our sermon text today. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. There was a guy that used to attend this church many years ago, Larry Salzman. He's almost legendary in that way. This was Larry's favorite passage. Larry spent a lot of time in the Word, and specifically on this passage. Every time I read it, I think of Larry. Today, we are going to read this with his mind and heart, and in our mind and heart, because we know how important it was to him. Reading from the NIV today. Folks, don't miss any of these words. They are powerful words. It is all about the armor of God. Let's begin. Verse 10. Finally, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." 13. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Paul says, verse 19, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. If you look at verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." I think everyone here today would agree that we understand that God is unrivaled in his power. That he is the omnipotent, that he is the sovereign, that he is the almighty, that he is the greatest, and he is the best. And from that, we can move on from there, because we have to understand this, and that is, do we understand Satan's power? Do we understand the power of his demons and his minions? Many don't. Many don't. Satan and his evil host of fallen angels are discounted and often refuted out of an ignorant lack of understanding. God's word is truthful, and it's enlightening when discussing the power and authority, verse 12, and the schemes, verse 11, of Satan. Luke 22, 33, Peter says to Jesus, he says, "Lord, I am ready to go to jail with you or even to die with you." Jesus tells him in verse 31, he says, "Simon, Simon, Peter, Satan has asked to have you, to sift you like wheat." You see, Peter didn't fully understand Satan's power. Peter believed that he would be representative of everything that Jesus wanted him to be, but he didn't understand Satan's power. Jesus did. Peter was misguided and misled by his own ignorant lack of understanding regarding who Satan was. Do we understand Satan's power? You see, by standing and to be standing after the storm, we need understanding during the storm. And for us, we need to understand how to weather these terrible struggles and trials and storms. Michael the archangel, he knew how to do it. He understood it. Jude 1:9, Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, when he was arguing with Satan about Moses' body, did not dare to accuse even Satan or jeer at him, but he simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now I want you for a moment to think of this. We know that Michael the archangel has higher standing than humans. We know that in his moment, he did not challenge Satan. Rather, we know that he leaned on Jesus, and we know that he leaned on his Lord. We know that this was something that we have to do, that we have to lean on our word. The question is, do we? Now, these wars are going to be difficult. Your struggles, your trials, your ordeals will be difficult. Your storms will be severe. How do we stand up to a powerful Satan? Michael the archangel teaches us how to do it as God's people. We have to lean on the Lord. The Lord rebuke you. This is understanding that we need to be standing in our and after our time of need. Three times in verses 10 through 14 we hear the word stand, and let me give you the reference points to those. Those words are stand against, stand firm and stand your ground. Do we understand this? Are we prepared to actually do this? Do we understand that we will be asked to make a stand for Jesus when we choose to love and believe in and live for Jesus? This young man talked about in this letter that I just read. This young man has made a stand. This young man has decided to follow Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that this young man understands that his life will never be the same because now he has made a stand for his Lord and Savior. Jesus changed his life. You will be asked to make a stand in the midst of your storm. Satan wants you to fall and fail. God wants you to stand, and he wants you to stand firm. Peter did it on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 14 through 37. Before all the unbelievers, he made a stand. Stephen did it before his accusers in Acts chapter 7. He made his stand. Paul did it often, especially before Felix and Festus and Agrippa. Acts 24 through 26, Paul made a stand. What did these men have to strengthen them in their testimony and their testifying and their standing? They had, folks, an understanding of God's word and God's will and God's way, and that helped them to stand up to an evil, Satan-led world. Paul offers the very things that we will need in our stand, starting in verse 14 of our sermon text. Let's go there now. You will see that there are six pieces, six articles, six things that are constituted as the full armor of God. Let's make sure we note this. Five of them are for our defense. One of them is used as offense. We're going to talk about each one of them and break them down individually. So the first one, let us first understand what the belt of truth is. Now, to defeat the father of lies, John 8:44, we must have the belt of truth. If you are going to defeat Satan, you will need the power of God and the almighty power of Jesus Christ to change our lives, to allow us to see that we cannot fight him alone. We need God's truth. Now, that comes from his word, and that comes directly from the presence of our Lord. Now, this belt goes around our midsection. Now, I think that that has significant and metaphoric reference. If it goes around our midsection, it means that we must be centered in the truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. If we are going to withstand the storm, if we are going to overcome the trials and the struggles and the ordeals, I will tell you this, we will stand upon God's truth. We'll be centered in it. Let us next understand the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate guards the heart and its vital organs. This is the righteousness of Jesus that guards us. Romans 3:22, Paul says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus. We will be standing if he is protecting our heart. And let me tell you something, Matthew 15:19 speaks to our heart. Because Matthew 15:19 tells us that evil comes from the heart. Only God can guard it. Only God can protect it. Folks, our hearts are evil. Our hearts are made, unfortunately, to sin because of the sin nature that's in them. If we are going to be guarded and protected and shielded, we will absolutely need the breastplate of Jesus' righteousness. Next, number three, our next article of defense is our shoes that will speed us on and protect us and ready us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus and his peace. These shoes protect us from Satan's traps that would ultimately stop us from advancing forward in the powerful name of Jesus. In this culture and in this era, the way that they would stymie the soldiers was to put traps out on the ground. If they were walking barefoot, that would hurt their feet. They could not move forward. They could not march forward to accomplish the purpose that was put before these soldiers. Satan's going to do the same thing. He will put traps before you. He will try to make you fall, and he will try to make you fail. We have to have these shoes. These shoes are shod from Jesus Christ himself. These shoes will speed us on and protect us and help us to share the gospel message. Let's look at the fourth piece of defense. In verse 16, we read about the shield of faith. In Roman times, here's what we know, there were two shields that were used. One was a leather shield that was dipped in water. And when the soldiers would go out, because the shield was wet, it would extinguish the flaming arrows that was coming at them from their opposition. The other shield was a steel one, a large one. This steel shield could be joined together with the other shields based on the other soldiers, and when conjoined would be impenetrable. It would be a line of defense that no one could get past. We need this shield. Let us not misunderstand that this shield is in fact our faith. 1 John 5:4 says this, faith ensures victory. You are going to have arrows shot at you by Satan. It will happen. I have them every Saturday night. Every morning, Cam comes to wake me up, and I tell her, she expects it. She woke me up this morning and said, how'd you sleep? I didn't. She said, how do you feel? I don't. She said, how are you going to make it? I know. You see, these arrows will always come at those people who are willing to go out and be Jesus' disciples. You will always be attacked. I love when people say, I became a Christian so my life would become easier. Let me promise you this. When you become a Christian, your life will become harder. This young man who gave his life to Jesus Christ is going to find out, as a believer, our lives get harder. But it just motivates us more. It drives us more. And when the storms come, and we deal with the struggles and the trials and ordeals, we'll stand stronger because we are those believers. This is what we lean upon. 1 Corinthians 15:57, Jesus is our victory. What's the fifth line of defense? It is the helmet of salvation, verse 17. This protects our minds and our reasoning and our thinking. Satan will always attack our minds, filling us with doubt, false doctrine, and opportunity to sin. It will happen. I love Mark 7:20. Jesus says, it is the thought life that pollutes. 2 Peter 2:12 says this. Peter says, false teachers blaspheme in matters they do not understand. And if they don't understand it, can't we fall victim to it? And that means that if we're not going to fall victim to it, folks, regarding God's word, we got to read it and we got to know it. And that's how we withstand the attacks of the false doctrine that comes from Satan and his minions. The helmet of salvation protects us and provides for us understanding to keep us standing, especially when we are doubting or even when we are tempted to sin. Lastly, Paul introduces a weapon of offense, interestingly enough. Offense, not defense. And it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Some might say you just saved the best for last, and I think Paul did. Now here's what we know about it. Jesus used this weapon in the wilderness during his temptation, saying in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, 7, and 10, to refute Satan, three words. You know what these words are. Jesus says, it is written. Now, you want to talk about our Lord wielding a sword? That was it. It is written. And let me tell you something. We know that that caused Satan to leave. Jesus knew the power of the word. He knew the power of this sword. We must as well. We have to lean on it. We need it. Because this sword, God's word, is ours too. We don't change it. Rather, we charge forward with it. Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, in the parable of the sower, he says, the good ground represents the heart of a man who listens to the message and understands it, then does something great with it. Look at verses 18 through 20. Oftentimes when we read this passage, we miss these three verses, but we're not going to miss these today. Keep in mind when Paul wrote this, this is one of his prison letters. So as he says in this, he was bound in chains. Obviously, Paul was dealing with his own personal storm, his own struggles, trials, and ordeals. He said this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul's words, make it known fearlessly, declare it fearlessly. You'll struggle. It'll be a trial. In many cases, it will be your ordeal. And yet we are called to do it, and we are called to share it, and we're called to do it just like Paul did it, fearlessly. And folks, I promise you, when you do it, and when the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do it, you will rejoice, and you will thank him for the opportunity. This is what God renders through us. This is why he uses us. 1 Chronicles 21:1. Satan stood up against David. Don't forget those words. Satan stood up against David, and he will stand against us. He wants us to fail, and he wants us to fall. Adam and Eve, there was a misunderstanding, a true misunderstanding, and a lot of sinning, and Satan's deceiving led to the fall of man. We can fall, and we can fail. Do we understand God and his word? When someone comes to you and says, I don't understand my struggle. I don't understand why I have to go through this trial. I don't like this ordeal. And I am hopeful and I am prayerful that we can say, let me show you what God can do regarding your struggle and your trial and your ordeal. Let me tell you how he helped others who are going through the same struggles and trials and ordeals. And we'll go to his word, we'll use it as our sword, and we'll lead people to our Lord. And that is what we are called to do. This is what he wants us to do. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. One thing to say, if we're going to say yes, let me be sure that we understand this. We got to be prepared for this. If you're going to say yes and you say today I'm going to stand, because today with the power of God and the power of his word, the power of my Lord, I can stand. You'll need the word. You will definitely need our Lord. You see, Job understood it. Job got it. He said in Job 28:26, to forsake evil is real understanding. Now let me give you one more thing that we need to understand. It's been suggested, and I share this because it's been suggested, many a Christian writer has suggested this, and I'm jumping on their bandwagon because I agree with this, and that is this. That as you notice those six pieces of armor, those six things that protect us and guard us, there's one area that's not protected. One area not shielded, one area not guarded, and that is our backs. Folks, if you choose to turn your back on Jesus, if you choose to turn your back on our Lord and his word, you are unprotected, you are unshielded, and you will not be helped. Whatever you do, folks, whatever you do, do not leave this church today and say, I think I can do this on my own. Because when you turn your back on God and his word, you open it up for an incredible attack of which we might not be standing when it comes. And that is when we will need our Lord. And I pray today that you will not choose to turn your back on him. God asked Job in Job 41:10, he says, who can stand before me? Satan can't. And his lies and his accusations, his attacks and his attempts won't. We have to have faith. We need strength, and God expects growth. This is what he expects. Let us remember this. A better understanding of his word will help to ensure that we will be standing, either when we leave this world, when we're dealing with the struggles in this world, or when we go to meet our Lord. And our hope today is this. Our prayer today is this, that we will be standing when our struggles come, when our storms are faced, when our trials are before us, that we'll be standing because in God's word and our relationship with our Lord provides us understanding. That's my prayer for all of us today. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. As we do, we are going to pray for every one of these individuals. I want you to think about them. I want you to pray for them because, folks, what we have seen through this letter and so many miracles in this church is that God hears our prayers. He answers them. And so I pray today that we will go before him in sincerity, asking for his help and asking for his blessing. I also want to mention one more thing, too, and this is a personal request that I have. I'm going to be on WJBC, WBNQ, and whatever the country station is. I have no idea what that one is. B104, is that it? Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to be talking about some of the events we have coming up in my other job. One of the gentlemen that I normally interview with, Scott Lachlan, good friend of mine, and know him well. Many of you may not know Scott Lachlan has been diagnosed with kidney cancer. That's why he's no longer on WJBC. He's taking a leave of absence. We're going to pray for Scott as well. This is a difficult, difficult time for Scott and his family and the whole Radio Bloomington family. So we'll lift Scott up as well, as I told him we would. So many other people that need help. Let's pray for them right now. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will help us to stand. Father, we all deal with trials and struggles and storms, and we read in your word how your people dealt with them and faced them and overcame them, but they never did it without you. They needed your armor. And so today I pray that you will help us to wield that same armor. I pray that we will lean on Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I pray that when we are in our time, I pray that we will spend that time in your word, and specifically that you have given us that passage as our means to overcome and stand. Father, we can't do it alone. We can't turn our backs on you. Rather, we ask that you will be with us and that you will walk with us and guide us and shield us and protect us. This we need. Father, I thank you for helping every single person that's here today. It's not hopeless. Life is not helpless. But we need Jesus, that we know. And so we come before you today asking for this, and we ask it sincerely. Father, I pray today that if there are hearts that are searching for answers, if there are hearts that are unsaved, if there are individuals in this church today who said, I've never given my life to Jesus, I've never made Jesus my Lord and my Savior, that today in this church at this minute, that these individuals would say, today I make Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. And I pray that this walk will begin today, and I pray that they will feel that protection and that guarding and that guiding today. Father, for every person that's listed on our bulletin, and every person's important, everyone has a specific need and request. I pray that you will help them. I pray that you'll guide them. I pray that you'll heal them. But I pray more than anything that you'll strengthen them, that they will see your will in this process. Father, I pray today that as you continue to bless them, I pray that we'll get testimonials. I pray that we'll hear things, just like with this letter that Doug Pavia sent us, that we'll hear about the saving power of Jesus. I thank you for what awaits us next Sunday when Jessica Fry shares her missions trip and what an amazing story it will be. Thank you for healing her and empowering her and filling her with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray today that you will guide us and bless us as we continue on in our journey, not just today, but every day. Wherever we go, whether it's our schools, our workplaces, our homes, wherever we go, I pray that you'll help us to impact those that we come in contact with. Father, I pray today that you will be with our missionaries, be with our pastors, be with all of our leaders in churches worldwide. And I pray today that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit. And I pray that they will shepherd their flocks accordingly. And I pray that they will share your message responsibly. And I pray that they won't change it, but rather I pray they'll charge forward with it. We thank you for this day. We honor you. We worship you today for everything that you've done for us. Praise Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand and close with our final song. That was perfectly fitting. Well done, my friend. Well, folks, the encouragement today is to stand. That's the encouragement. And the only way to stand is with Jesus Christ standing beside us and walking with us. And that's the encouragement that we have today. Lean on the word. Folks, if you have not, if you say, you know what, Wednesday nights, I'm available. Come to Bible study Wednesday night. Enjoy time with us laughing and sharing and growing. And again, it's time spent in the word. And I am grateful that we get that time to spend in the word. If you say Wednesday night won't work, it's a bad night. Folks, give us a night. We'll start another Bible study and we'll get another Bible study where we can have you spend time in the word. That's what we're all about here at Covell Community Church. The Word. So let's go before our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Word. It's paramount to us. It's prominent with us. It is everything that we need, and it fills us. And Father, I pray today that you would teach us to lean on it, especially when we are leaning on you. I pray, Father, that you would help us to not fall. I pray that you'll help us to overcome those things that would cause us to fall. And I pray that we will be strengthened and guided and shielded, protected by you, and I thank you for what Paul gave us through the Holy Spirit's power in your word. Teach us to use this full armor, I pray, as we go to war, and I pray that we would rely upon you to fight that war. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.